On today's Locked On NBA, good Lord, they let Pat the Designer run the show. Nick, we miss you, brother, but we got to break down the Celtics versus Mavericks in Nick's anguish. You know he's just somewhere relishing the fact that Luka put up 42 in a loss. Also, got to talk about my Chicago Bulls getting the dub over the Milwaukee Bucks, and then we'll finish it out with a couple of other teams around the NBA, taking a look at what's all going on in this league. All that and more on today's Locked On NBA. Let's go.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you guys for tuning in to Locked On NBA, member of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Sweat Block. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try Sweat Block. Save 20% with the promo code Locked On at sweatblock.com. Also available on Amazon. As you can see, no Nick Angstead today, but we've got an excellent fill-in with Brendan Kleen from Locked On Suns in the building. Brendan, how you feeling?
Good, man. I'm good. These Wednesdays, you guys are pros here, but these are busy, busy NBA schedules. So I was struggling keeping up with all the scores, let alone the actual footage of these games. So I'm happy to be here, but not jealous of the work you guys put in every week. It's a lot.
Wednesday is a lot of fun, man. It is a lot of games to watch, but it is the best day for NBA. And we had a great day for NBA tonight as we saw the Boston Celtics get a dub over a Dallas Mavericks team after Luka put on an amazing performance on national TV. I mean, you look at this game, right? Like, you see Luka Doncic put up 42, 8 and 9, 17 for 28. He's dominating the entire way through. Christian Wood comes out 26 and 12. Brendan, how the heck are we talking about a loss in this game?
That's a great question. That's a great way to put it because, yeah, those guys combined for 68 points. You're not looking at many L's. I mean, I think you got to look at the other side. And what's funny is Tatum and Brown combined for that same exact amount of points. And obviously they got a lot more help. I mean, that's the basic way to put it. But yeah, this Mavs team, I mean, Christian Wood and the confusion around him, that's been the story, right? Like, will he play? Is he bought in? Is he playing defense the way that Jason Kidd, the head coach, wants him to be? And he seemed to do all of that today, and yet, like you said, still a loss. So, yeah, I'm sure Dallas fans are probably not sleeping too easy, but, I mean, Boston is probably the best team in the NBA, so I'm not sure how mad you can actually be.
And I mean, yeah, you look at it, right? Celtics are leading the league right now. They've got 14 wins. The Celtics have kind of found their groove offensively. And there's just some of these teams, right, where if you don't have the size to match up with them, there are four losses this year. Credit two to my Chicago Bulls, two to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The only two teams really that they've played this season that match up with them with the big man dominant front lines with Vooch and Drummond and, of course, with Mobley and Allen over there, right? But then you look at, like, Dallas, and that's a team where you would think Christian Wood would be able to go down there and dominate. And he was, right, playing-wise. But then defensively, like you said, is he doing enough for what Jason Kidd is looking for? And it's such a head-scratcher down there. And when down there in Dallas, right, when I'm looking at what the Mavericks do and how they play the game, of course you know it's going to be dominated by Luka. But I've talked about this on many occasions. It comes down to the other guys, right? And to me, the other guys in this game for the Mavericks just didn't get the job done. Now, Spencer Dinwiddie, I thought he did a good job, right? 15, 4-4 in that game, a very Spencer Dinwiddie type of game. But outside of that, right, you're just not getting the production from guys that are playing a lot of minutes there.
Yeah, not running a lot of offense if anyone was watching this game. I mean, that's the pitfall that these teams run into. You know, take Brunson away and even Tim Hardaway is struggling to get back to the type of form we saw him before the injury. And so I look at three-point attempts. I look at assists, you know, only 31 three-point attempts for Dallas. That's not going to cut it. You know, they need to be higher than that if they're generating the type of offense they want to. Only 20 assists. You mentioned Dinwiddie. He was the only other guy with more than two. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like we've talked too much about Dallas, though. They're the ones that lost this game. I was so impressed with Jaylen Brown specifically. Now, he said Tatum was the one who had this game circled. He was questionable heading into the game. He played. He scored 37. But Brown said post-game, yeah, okay, Tatum circled it. But I think Brown played even better, just getting downhill, attacking, defending. There's these games every so often. And I don't even mean that disrespectfully. It's just he goes from good to great some of these nights where Brown is just something else. And efficiency, he was doing everything. And I think he's the real reason they won, because Tatum matched Luka. You're mentioning who else? Well, the Celtics had that. That's somebody else.
Yeah, for sure. And again, right, the other guys, when you look at the Celtics' other guys, right, we're talking about twos and ones on their side. We're not seeing that over on the Celtics' side. Al Horford with 14, 5, and 4. Jaylen Brown, of course, with 31 points. Marcus Smart, 13, 2, and 9. Derek White, 12, 2, and 2. This Celtics team is so deep. And even, right, just I always say this when I look at the Celtics team, the best thing that they did coming off of a championship year, of course, going through the flux that they did with Ime Udoka and stuff like that, but the addition of Malcolm Brogdon, just never giving the opposing team a break. Like you feel like, right, like with most teams, okay, we got past that. You know, we don't have to deal with Tatum on the floor right now. And then all of a sudden, here comes Malcolm Brogdon in there to assassinate you even more. He put up 13 and 6. So I just look at this Boston team, and the depth of this team is ridiculously dangerous. And I think that that's the biggest thing that they can hang their hat on.
Absolutely. And for them, you mentioned the offense. That's been the thing for them. Last year, they were much more of a defensive team, at least in the regular season. That's kind of how they were able to stay afloat, and then they make that run in the back half of the year. This year, without Robert Williams healthy, it's been the offense. And so, yeah, maybe some of that is having a guy like Brogdon in there.
Yeah.
Even Sam Hauser, like a role player, but he's really just a shooter. But yeah, for them to be able to put up 125 and use that as a way to stay afloat, even against a team like Dallas with their star power, it says a lot about the way that they've been able to adapt. And then they'll get Robert Williams in and probably get back to their winning ways on defense too. But this is just a scary team. They're even better than last year, it feels like, in terms of cohesion and scoring and just playing together.
Now, these were two teams that were there at the end of the season, right? Like they both, of course, the Celtics in the finals. Luka's there, Western Conference Finals with the Dallas Mavericks. Who do you see keeping it going most? Who are you looking at in this, right? Seeing how these two teams are playing, seeing how they're going at each other and things like that. Who are you looking at and saying, man, like, I can see you getting back to where you were last year. You still feeling that way about the Mavericks right now? Are you just feeling that Boston's running away with it, heading to another NBA Finals? What's your feelings on it?
I mean, Boston has the Bucks, right? And so that's like the one thing where probably the two best teams in the whole league right now are 1 and 2 in the East. And so I guess that would be the hesitancy of like, how far is Boston really going to get? But their record says it all. The fact that what I just mentioned about getting Robert Williams back, they're already better, and they're about to get some reinforcements when Williams is able to come back at some point this year. Dallas, to me, you know, we can all debate whether the Utah Phoenix back to back in the playoffs, they just kind of got a break there.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, this roster is just not, it's just not up to snuff with some of the other, even West teams, let alone Boston or Milwaukee. So yeah, I think Dallas has a long way to go. I think they're going to sniff trades out, and this was just another game that kind of proved that to us.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me when I look at this Boston team, because it's just like they're – even with how they play today, right, there's moments where, like, Tatum maybe doesn't give as much as Brown does, or Brown doesn't give as much as Tatum does. But when you see those two clicking together like you saw tonight, when you see how their games play off of each other, they really – really do look like one of the most unstoppable teams in the NBA. And the only question that we have is at that big man position. And like you said, one addition, and all of a sudden we don't have those same questions anymore. One addition, and all of a sudden we're looking at this Boston team like, okay, now who's going to beat them with the big man inside? Because Robert Williams is going to have something to say about it. I'm so excited to see kind of where, how they're going to continue down, because, right, it's still early in the season. Can you keep this pace up? Boston leading the way right now. We're going to get into another Eastern Conference team, a battle of a couple of Eastern Conference teams as we move ahead, man, because the Chicago Bulls pulled up what I think most people, not just in Bulls Nation, but outside of Bulls Nation, would call a very surprising win and a convincing win by the Chicago Bulls over the Milwaukee Bucks. But first, we got to tell you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds, trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football, NBA, soccer, esports. We've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're the always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, we're back on Locked On NBA. Pat the Designer, Brendan Kleen here, as we're breaking down, you already know, the Chicago Bulls. There's no way on a day where the Milwaukee Bucks lose to the Bulls. I wasn't going to bring that to Locked On NBA. Bulls did a great job defensively in this one. Came out and figured out Giannis, but figured out a way to make life a little bit tougher for Giannis. And by a little bit, I mean a little bit, because Giannis did still go off and absolutely annihilate us in that second half. 36 points, 11 boards, and 7 assists finishing the game. But the little things that the Bulls could do, Giannis Antetokounmpo finishing this game with 8 turnovers, as the Bulls had active hands in that game. Behind DeMar DeRozan's 36 points, another high-scoring night from DeMar DeRozan, and Kobe White able to close it out with a couple of big three-pointers. The Chicago Bulls have been stumbling, right? They've kind of played that Dallas Mavericks role in the East, like we've been talking about, trying to figure it out, went through a losing streak. We're trying to find our way back into it. And then they come out and they beat the two best teams in a row. Boston 2 nights ago, Milwaukee tonight. What's your feeling around Chicago? What's the national vibe around this Bulls team with LaVine and DeMar?
Yeah, tonight was the first time in a bit that I had been able to watch them. I was really impressed. I mean, you nailed all the key points in terms of what happened late. The one thing I think I would shout out that you didn't hit was within those 8 turnovers for Giannis, how exactly that went down. And not just the turnovers, but the 15 of 27, it's Giannis, right? Like,
yeah,
he's going to do that. But Caruso drew that charge late in the game. I believe it was Caruso.
Yep.
And I thought Giannis honestly made life, like you said it, Chicago did some things to make him uncomfortable. I think he settled a lot tonight too, you know? And so on the Bulls side, I think them being able to survive with Vooch at the 5 when the Bucks went to Giannis at the 5 was a surprise to me. That's not something you would expect, that they would be able to defend Milwaukee, yeah, with Vooch on Giannis at times. And even when Brooke was out there, they had Vooch on Giannis in some situations, and the cross-matching and all the stuff that went down. So testament to them for just fighting, keeping it close, making tough shots. DeRozan, Kobe White, Vooch hit the top of the key 3 at the very end of the game to really just ice it. And then LaVine, we can talk about, but everything else just went awesome for them. And I think you just want to see this team show that it is still capable of fighting. That was what impressed me the most, to have the up and down season and then to be able to come out and even just sort of like go blow for blow. Even if they had lost this game, I think it would have been something to be pretty proud of. But like you mentioned, they're 2 big wins back to back now, and I'm sure they're feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, I look at this team, and the biggest thing that I've said about the Bulls over on Locked On Bulls is that we're not seeing anything in these games that we haven't seen from the Chicago Bulls. This is the first time in the last 2 games that we've seen it for 4 quarters from the Chicago Bulls. Billy Donovan, of course, having to bench Zach LaVine in that Orlando game. I thought that the Bulls essentially just came out and they finally started to play 4 quarters worth of basketball, and they weren't getting down on themselves. There were so many moments in that losing streak where it was just like, all right, we got punched in the mouth. We got down. But there were, in this game, right, there was a big play that I thought would be the moment that changed the momentum of this game, where I thought the Bulls would really get behind, where Zach LaVine goes for a fadeaway 3-pointer, knocks it down, but they call him for an offensive foul on a leg kick. Then they upgrade that foul from an offensive foul to a flagrant foul. By the way, it's his natural shooting motion. It was very interesting. He kicks his leg on his fadeaway, yeah, like everyone, yeah, else does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then not only on the fadeaway, right, then it turns into a flagrant. Then on top of the flagrant, they knock down the 2 free throws. They get the ball back. They knock down a three-pointer, 7-point swing. Those are the moments with the Chicago Bulls this season where I'm like, and there it is. But it wasn't that in this game, and they continued to fight, and they continued to go at Milwaukee, and Milwaukee continued to allow the Bulls to have opportunities to get back in this game, and the Bulls stayed in it the entire time. I thought this was, you know, there's a lot of those, my favorite Russell Westbrook quote is like, did y'all win this or did you lose this? And he's just like, what? Like, what? What are you talking about? I think the Bulls won this game. I don't think that the Bucks lost it. That's what it comes down to for me.
That's completely fair. This was the first, I mean, they won game two in the playoff series last year, right? But this was the first game that the Bulls had won in Milwaukee in like 5 years, I think I saw in the regular season. 2017. Yeah. So no, I mean, you can't take that away from them. You know, like nothing happened in this game that was a fluke, right? And so back to the Giannis side of it as well here, in terms of what I was saying with him settling, like, I was watching the Bucks broadcast. They were highlighting during the game the way that Giannis was kind of like luring Vooch into allowing him to kind of take that free throw line jumper, whether that was in transition or just off of a drive, whatever it might have been. And I was kind of sitting there thinking, like, yeah, sure, I see what they're talking about, but we all know that's not the best version of Giannis, right? Yeah. Like, I cover the team that couldn't stop fouling Giannis while he was scoring 50 in a finals game, and he's getting to the line and he's getting guys into foul trouble. The Bulls didn't really have anybody in extreme foul trouble tonight. And so as the game goes on, I was like, all right, yeah, that's a good adjustment by Giannis, but that's kind of playing into the defense's hands a little bit. And we've seen Giannis do that from time to time. And in other games, it's been him taking too many threes. He's kind of cut back on that the past couple years. But even that jumper, that's just making it that much easier for the Bulls to contain him, or at least, you know, go blow for blow with him a little easier. So, yeah, I'm not going to blame it on the guy who had 36, 11, and 7. But, you know, with Chris Middleton out, with Drew Holiday just coming back from a little bit of an absence and their bench not being great right now, it is kind of all Giannis. And he wasn't quite great enough. And so, yeah, you get a 5-point loss.
Yeah, and you thought, right, like, looking at this team and looking at this Brooklyn team, right, like, I think this is a game where, like I said, I think the Bulls end up winning this. Or I'm sorry, Brooklyn. Looking at this Milwaukee team, this is a game where a 5-point win, I think the Bulls did end up doing enough to get the win. They played well enough to get the win. But the guy that, to me, is the scariest on this team, I've talked about the other guys a couple of times tonight, what Brook Lopez has turned himself into is one of the scariest assets in the NBA outside of a guy like Bobby Portis, who also can give you a lot of value off of the bench. But to me, right, like, and we saw it in this game. Early on in this game, Brook Lopez was unstoppable. And then as the game kind of went on, he ended up regressing. I believe Brook Lopez had 11 points in the first quarter, scored 9 points the rest of the way. Bulls did a good job adjusting on him. But just looking at this Milwaukee team moving forward, you add Brook Lopez just playing the way he normally does for four quarters in with Bobby Portis getting 14, 15 points. This is still a ridiculously scary team. I thought the Bulls did a good job tonight fighting off a lot and adjusting really well, which is something I don't often say about Billy Donovan, to what the Bucks were trying to throw at the Bulls. And I thought that just the defensive adjustments, the defensive rotations, they did a good job forcing Giannis into, like you said, taking shots that he's not comfortable taking. Like, he's kind of worked in that mid range, but I, as a Bulls fan, yeah, he's not dunking on Patrick Williams. Yeah, I'll take that.
Exactly. No, for sure. I mean, to your point about the scariness of Milwaukee, even while Middleton is still out, it sounds like he's back in the G League right now, getting some rehab stuff in, and he'll probably be back soon. This is kind of the timeline we all expected, so everything's going according to plan there. But, I mean, I've thought this for basically since what I saw him do in last year's playoffs, also without Middleton, taking that Boston team to 7. Giannis is at the point in his career, what's already a legendary career and what's just kind of getting added to every single year, like He has taken up the spot LeBron used to have, where you put average to above average players around him and you're getting a top four seed, you're going to the second round of the playoffs. Like, if you just give him enough, he'll do that for you. And Yeah, whether it's the regular season where he's kind of single-handedly winning them some games, or it's that playoff series last year, or whatever you want to point to, he's firmly there. And yeah, I mean, this game, it's a not to disrespect Chicago, but this is a bigger deal for Bulls fans than it is for Bucks fans, right?
Oh, 100%. Listen, yeah, we know.
Look, like, I get it, but I don't want to step on anybody. It's a good night. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings.
It's not disrespect. We literally, me and Hayes talked about it over on Locked On Bulls, right? If you ever can find the guy that can slow down Giannis Antetokounmpo, just hand him the NBA championship. Hand him the MVP. He's the best player in the league. He might be the best player of all time because there's not that guy in the league right now.
Yeah.
Patrick Williams held Giannis to 6 points in the first half. He finished with 36. He's unstoppable. We know what the Bucks team is. So it's a credit to the team that they built. A couple of former Chicago Bulls on that team. But yeah, you know, it's a credit to the team that they built. You know what I mean? Hey, we're going to keep this thing going, man, because we want to take a look around the NBA, because there was more than just these two good games to get into. Got to talk about what the Hawks did versus the Kings. Got to look at that Warriors game, which is, are the Warriors getting it back together? We'll break that down over here on Locked On NBA up next. But first, we got to tell you guys about Sweatblock. Here's the thing. If you are a sweaty person, like I tend to be, you know what I mean? You're looking for that product that's going to help. You've tried multiple deodorants. You've tried, you know, different things that are going to keep the shirts stain free. Like my buddy Christopher, he wore a sweater every single day to school, even in hot Texas summers to try and hide his sweat. He now can wear any shirt without sweating, and it's all thanks to Sweatblock. Here's the thing. Christopher was able to fix his problem with Sweatblock wipes. They were invented by a doctor, and they're guaranteed to work, or you don't have to pay a thing. They call it Sweatblock Dry, or they call it Sweatblock's dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Nobody wants to go outside and go to the, just point at something and there's the big dark circle on the shirt. Nobody wants to deal with that. So make sure that you guys try Sweatblock. Here's all you got to do. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try Sweatblock risk-free today. Save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. Also available on Amazon. Maybe a good pickup for the old, you know, Black Friday deal. I'm just saying, not a bad Black Friday deal. Welcome back to Locked On NBA. Appreciate you guys for showing love. As always, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, and make sure that you are, if you're listening on the podcast side, you're leaving that 5-star review, man. Make sure you show love. Pat the Designer here, Brandon Clean from Locked On Suns. Brandon, we had some very interesting games around the league tonight. The Atlanta Hawks, a team that we definitely want to touch on, because Trae Young and DeJounte Murray have been kind of slowly working that rhythm together, and you see it kind of come to fruition with tonight's game as this team finally getting that, okay, everybody's kind of figuring out their roles dub tonight. Now, DeJounte Murray didn't have a great shooting, but still finishing out with seven rebounds, 4 assists, and Trae Young went absolutely ballistic with 35-7 as he was 11 of 19 from the field, and a Kings team that has just been ridiculously exciting all season. What'd you see in this game that you really thought, right, stood out from the Atlanta Hawks in this one?
Yeah, it was Trae Young. I mean, this was a weird game, right? You look at the box score, nobody outside of Malik Monk and Trae Young had more than 20 points. And so you look at the quarter by quarter, 18 points for each team in the fourth quarter, right? So it was a weird one. Maybe guys looking toward Thanksgiving a little bit. I'm not too sure. But that Kings offense late just didn't really have a lot of answers. They didn't, I mean, not even answers. They've been a great offense, but they just weren't knocking down shots. And Trae Young, with a couple threes late, is able to put it away. He gives us the icy shiver that he likes to do and tells us all it's over. And it's a big win for the Hawks. I mean, these teams are pretty evenly matched, in my opinion. They're very similar teams. It's big offense, less defense on both sides. And So, yeah, the Kings were on a win streak, I think 7 straight heading into this one. So,
yeah,
as much as it's like, yeah, it's Trae Young, this team's been to the conference finals, I do see this as a pretty nice win for Atlanta, especially as you mentioned with Dejounte not really doing a whole ton.
And listen, Trae Young, he had 10 points in the third quarter, including a straightaway three that gave the Hawks a 97-86 lead. I mean, 27-foot threes. Like, he's trying to take on that Steph Dame Lillard moniker. He's been doing it his entire career, doing a great job at it. He iced it with a three in the final minute to make it a 113-102 game. He really is turning into that next generation of ice water in their veins player. We've seen him do it in the playoffs. We've seen him do it now in the regular season many a times. And when you look at this Atlanta team, right, I think the question is just, how is everything going to continue to come together? Especially, right, seeing it tonight, when you see, right, just some of the pieces, okay, it's almost like they go back to – they have moments where they go back to the Atlanta offense previously, which DeJounte Murray fits well in, right? Like, okay, I'm going to just play like we did last season. I'm going to get my buckets where I can. I'm going to fit into this offense. But you see Trae Young and Clint Capella going out there 11, 14, 5 for 10, right? Atlanta's such an interesting team to me, especially in this Eastern Conference. And even just taking a look at this Kings team, like you said, man, a seven-game win streak. And on the other side of this, going up against an Atlanta team, evenly matched, but maybe not the game that we thought we were going to get from Domantas Sabonis. 15, 13, and 7. He was 6 for 11. Not to say that he played bad, but I thought this was a game where he really could have taken advantage of that Atlanta front court.
Yeah, it's interesting the way he's been playing this year, right? He's had a lot of nights like this where he settles more into, you know, I'm going to play make, and we have a lot of shooters. We have a lot of driving, kind of catch and attack a closeout types of guys, Davion Mitchell, Terrence Davis, etc. So I don't necessarily think it's hard, right? It's hard to kind of adjust your mindset game to game. It's hard to say, all right, this is how I've been playing. How am I going to change and do it against this team when it's been working? But yeah, like you said, I mean, I think both of these teams have adjusted a little bit. They look a little different. Last year, the Kings only had Sabonis for the last part of the year. They're still figuring things out. They added Herter. They added Monk. And then on the Hawks side, back to them, I think the thing there to look at going forward is, one, I still don't think they have enough shooting. And it's kind of funny that this game was against Herter, who they just got rid of, who was a shooter for them. Bogdanovich is still out with the knee thing. And so you look like Collins taking 7 threes, Hunter, Aaron Holiday, these guys who you're not really going to count on to be floor spacers for you. And you're just kind of praying they go in every night. And then how are Young and Murray going to kind of coexist? I think I look at them. I look at Mitchell and Garland in Cleveland. Those are kind of two backcourts that are very much still figuring it out. It's been rare that for either of those teams, both guys go off on the same night. It's been a lot of kind of your turn, my turn. And that's understandable. But look, we're at the 20 or so game mark. These teams are both going to have to start figuring things out. Not to bring Cleveland into this, but it's similar. And so, yeah, it's fun to watch how all these different teams are kind of adjusting and finally starting to settle in, it feels like.
Yeah, for sure. And that's pretty much how I feel about it. Like, I feel like Atlanta's kind of slower getting into that. I feel like Cleveland's just like, we're going to shoot the ball. And if I miss, you shoot it. And if you miss, I'll shoot it. And we got a bunch of big guys to rebound. And Atlanta just they haven't gotten to that point where they're both on the same page all the time. We've seen them kind of get it together, or we've seen them kind of figure out, okay, I'm going to play this way for you to go. You'll play this way for me to go, but not at that same time. Let's take a look at some of the other games around the league, man. Listen, I got to ask you this question as we're sitting here and Golden State Warriors highlights are coming across my screen. Warriors now sit at 9-10 on the season, but dominating the Clippers tonight. Now, granted, no Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard. How do you feel about this Warriors team after seeing them seemingly start to knock down some shots in their own building?
Yeah. It was good to see Klay have a big night against Houston. They finally got their first road win the other night. And so I think that maybe is what's continuing. They got blown out by New Orleans without any of their guys in. And then tonight was kind of their first game after that Houston matchup with everybody back. And so you would hope it starts to look a little better, but the problem is even despite everything that you just said and getting things figured out and Clay going off and all of it, the bench still was not good tonight. And that's been the problem all year for them. Jordan Poole was 3 of 15 from the field. He had a few kind of problematic decisions in the second half when the Clippers were making a couple little runs. I think they cut it to single digits at one point in the second half. Poole, you know, not saying it's his fault that all that happened, but he was in there for those moments. You don't really see Kuminga coming along still. Moses Moody not really in the rotation. So, look, it's all the same problems, but for now, they're getting enough from that starting unit, and they definitely did tonight, even Wiggins with 31, to be able to win against, as you said, a shorthanded Clippers squad. But I don't know. Like, as much as I'm optimistic, you can also look at it and say, all right, it was Houston who's tanking, and the Clippers without their two best guys. Like, I don't know if I'm a Warriors fan, if I'm feeling awesome. I mean, the record is what it is, but they're still struggling to beat good teams and to be consistent right now.
Yeah, I mean, they sit at basically, surprisingly enough, right, one of the worst defensive ratings in the NBA, but also just middle of the pack offensively. The 13th in the NBA right now on offensive ratings at a 112.7. They're not the same looking Warriors team, at least early in the season. Not to say that they can't get back to that form or championship form or any of that. They just it seems like it's coming along a lot slower than you would have expected off of a championship run, even with Stephen Curry still playing really, really well this season.
He's absurd. He makes it look easy. It wasn't even a great night for him. And then he comes in the fourth quarter and doesn't it sometimes feel like with Steph that he's playing his own game of basketball?
Yeah.
Like everybody else is out there and you know, yeah, like he's on the bench, some stuff will go on or there'll be a few possessions. He may not get the ball and, you know, but then every so often it's like you flip the channel over to the Steph game and then you're like, oh yeah. And then the Warriors win the game because he just takes over. And that's what it felt like tonight. He came alive when they needed it, closed it out. I wasn't even sure if he was going to play in the fourth quarter. Kerr put him back in when it got under 20, which, I mean, I don't even know if he needed to. And Steph was like, all right, let me go ahead and make myself get back on the bench here. And he did that. And it was over, just like that.
And to your point, how dominant he's been. 31 points a game. That leads the entire Golden State Warriors. 6.6 rebounds a game. That leads the entire Golden State Warriors. 7.2 assists per game. That leads the entire Golden State Warriors. He has legitimately been one of the best players in the NBA this season, of course, and definitely the best player for the Warriors. As we close out, get ready to close out here, do want to get your thoughts real quick on the Clippers. Of course, Paul George not playing hamstring issue. Kawhi Leonard not playing again.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't have any more of an idea of what's going on than anybody else. It's just weird to me, too, to look at what the injuries. I think it was an ankle tonight, right?
Ankle tonight,
yes. And he was ruled out.
Yeah,
and he's ruled out early, too. Like yesterday, they told us he wasn't playing. But it's not knee, which is what, obviously, he tore in the 2021 playoffs that he's been rehabbing all this time. It's an ankle. And it's just it's getting harder to imagine like this guy ever being fully healthy. They played it as slow as they possibly could, getting him back into form, even to get to this point. And he can't even, you know, play a limited role. He only played 20 or 25 minutes the other night when he did make his return, and he can't even do that 2 days later. So it's a bummer. I love Kawhi Leonard. He's one of my favorite players ever to watch, but you just got to be realistic at a certain point if you're that organization and just wonder, like, is that happening again? Or is that something we got to plan for going forward? It's a big bummer. I thought we were going to get Kawhi all year this year. That's not happening.
Hopefully this is a organizational decision, and then the second half of the year they're going to be like, yeah, just go play 48 minutes, do whatever you want, man. Like,
let's hope so. Oh
man, hey, we do appreciate you guys for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reaction, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. For Brendan Clean, I'm Pat the Designer. This is Locked On NBA. Boom, as Nick would say.